52.
Okay.
Half a time.
Let's see what it says. What are the factors that makes Lashon Hara such a serious sin that involves interaction of two people? Right? Most things, a person does on their own. You don't have to join another guy together. Most things a person does, even if it's B'nai, they do it themselves to another person, to Hashem. Lashon Hara, you automatically need two people to be involved in it. That means two people are going against Hashem at one time. Imagine? It says, why? There's the speaker, then there's the listener. So who's worse, the speaker or the listener?
The listener.
Why? The nine says the listener.
I don't know. It sounds good.
It says,
the speaker's on.
The speaker, as Chaim says, he quotes the Chazal, Rashi, and Shua says that the punishment for accepting Lashon Hara is greater than the punishment for speaking Lashon Hara.
He's a stumbling block to the person who speaks it, because if he wasn't there, the speaker wouldn't speak it.
Oh, right, that's one. And one thing also, he's also a stumbling block to the person, correct. He's also a stumbling block to the speaker, because then the person wouldn't speak it. Now, but it sounds like even for the Lashon Hara aspect also, it sounds like he's worse. Now,
don't they also say that someone who's speaking Lashon Hara is like peddler? We need something he needs a customer to sell to.
That's right, he needs a customer. So without the customer, he can't sell his stuff. Therefore, the problem. Right? As Chaim says now, we spoke about earlier about this topic, then again to the topic of speaking Lashon Hara to Elos, meaning for a constructive purpose. Right? That sometimes for Shidduchim, for a business relationship, maybe for Chavrusa, right? If you look, someone wants to be your Chavrusa, you can inquire about him, you know, if he comes every other day, every 3 days, you can find out about his track record, right? So that's called Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose. Correct? What is it, Rabbi Rav? You're allowed to Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose? You're allowed to accept Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose? No, it's still Lashon Hara. It's considered Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means, but it's Lashon Hara. It's something bad.
I just need to know if it comes every day or not.
No, hard problem. That,
if it comes every day or not.
No, that's already
or
negative.
Like
no, according to the negative. It's supposed to be here. No, no, the penalty is supposed to be here every day. No, if it's a guy who's not supposed to be here. Like we said the other time, depends on the guy. But if it's a guy who's supposed to be here every day, doesn't come every day, then that's the shame. So what do you do? Right, we said that Allah, you're allowed to accept Lashon Hara to us. So now, you're allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. Someone wants to tell you that, I want to know about a certain person for a shidduch. I'm allowed to listen to, like, oh, they have this problem, that problem. I'm allowed to listen. Right? Now, how do I know the person is going to speak Lashon Hara, they're speaking for a constructive purpose? How do I know? So Chavetz Chaim said, you have to ask them, which is always a good idea. If someone starts speaking, and I think they're going to say Lashon Hara, right? I shouldn't attack them and say, you're speaking Lashon Hara, I don't want to look at you, I don't want to hear anything about you. We should ask the person, as Chavetz Chaim says, were you telling me, does it have a constructive purpose? To me, it sounds like Lashon Hara. Ask the person, is there a constructive purpose in what you're about to tell me? So that's how you know if you're going to speak for Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose. Nachon? I ask someone.
And you're going to steal it first.
Someone comes over to me and he starts talking to me about a certain person. So I tell him, do you think there's a constructive purpose for what you're telling me now? Maybe you do think so. Maybe you think I can help him, or maybe you think I can help him. He's my friend, so I can talk to him, maybe. But ask the person if they think it could be, it will have a constructive purpose. Now, once he tells me yes, then I'm allowed to listen, but I'm not allowed to accept it as fact. Very important. Got the Chanan? Even if so, I'm listening to Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose. I'm hearing about a certain person. Someone tells me this woman has a certain problem. I want to find out about a shidduch. They say she has a certain problem. So I'm allowed to be careful, but I'm not allowed to accept it as fact. Even when someone told me Lashon Hara for a constructive purpose, I'm not allowed to believe it as fact. But I'm allowed to use it just to be careful, to take caution. I use it to take caution.
Caution. Aren't you saying there's some credence to it? Aren't you saying there's
some, I'm saying that there's enough validity that I want to look into it further. Or I would rather stay away from such a person because someone told me they had a kind of issue, they have some emotional issues. So for me, I don't want to marry a lady with some emotional issue. right? No, they have extra special issues. Maybe to me, my issues and their issues, I can't handle them. But let's say a certain issue, which it's not for me. Yeah, this person, for whatever it is, if this person, right, let's say she has a smartphone, something like that, that I could say, okay,
but. Good example.
Yeah, it's a good example. Yeah. I don't know if I would, well, maybe she has a filter. We now have a result. So I thought I hear. You could be open minded and just look into it further and ask me all that and address them. But you now accept it as fact.
So when I took my came to my house and asked, is this the Shon Hara? So we had a bar mitzvah in my shul. The boy had a terrible voice, he's not music. Now, he told his son, or his son told him, you know, he's not musical, he doesn't sing nice things.
What he told his son?
He was talking with his son. He was wondering if he was spreading the Shana Rav by telling him that, you know, the Bar Mitzvah boy he's not music, not reading nice.
Then why did he tell everybody he's not reading nice? Just, what? What was his purpose of mentioning?
Because his son's having a Bar Mitzvah in another year. Maybe they were saying,
If it's a constructive purpose. If it's a constructive purpose, saying, listen, you're in charge. You think everybody reads their Torah portion. Maybe my son, the best thing would be for him just to say the brachas because he's not so musical. Meaning, it could be Lashon Hara to say, it doesn't have to be so negative. Not really so negative to say he's not so musical. Not everybody's musical. But it could be Lashon Hara. Meaning, who is he telling it to? He's talking to the whole table?
No, sure.
To a bunch of people?
Not
to
his
mother.
Also.
Just
to his son.
He's telling his son?
Not to his father. Father was telling his son the Bar Mitzvah boy has his Bar Mitzvah.
I don't know.
Is that the Shon Hara? Someone may have heard him say it.
He was talking to his son about it just for the purpose. His son is probably not so smart for you to read your parts. It's fine. I don't think he's telling you so much, Shon Hara. He's just stating it back and looking at the reality.
Maybe you say, hey, look, this guy is so good and he did this. He's good too, even though you're not so good.
Yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
It is constructive for the best. I thought, because he's telling him, you know, he's struggling. You also struggle. So I keep it saying, struggle with the stragglers. Fine, so it could be, if he just, I don't know. Fine. So we're saying over here, now, so the Chazan said like this. Either the person comes up to me and starts talking. I should ask him, by the way, I'm sure is what you're going to speak have a constructive purpose. Or, let's say I have a situation, I already see someone telling Lashon Hara to another person. Right? But I decide to stick my ears in because I think it could have to do with me also. And then also, I think it could have a constructive purpose for me also. I'm also allowed to listen to the Lashon Hara. Right? So even if I hear Ruben wants to tell me about a certain thing a person does wrong, if I feel I can help that person, if I start telling a certain guy, this guy has a smartphone, I think I can help him, I'm also allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. It's not considered Lashon Hara, it's considered for constructive purpose. I feel I can help the person, then also it's for a constructive purpose. Right? Meaning, we're allowed to listen to negative information, but we're not allowed to accept it as fact. It's very important, it's time points out. Correct? I could take a caution and be caution about the situation. If someone told me this person, hey, you can't really believe that. I can think, because I hear you saying it's something to worry about, something to put on the screen, to think about, take into consideration. But not a belief, it's for sure true. Right? Also, could be partially true, the person exaggerating, or even there's something like that's true. They took it, they asked you. Then they came and they asked you. They asked you, have a smartphone? They said, yes, you didn't see. The algorithm didn't accept it as fact. He asked, said, you asked again, you have a smartphone? He accepted. He took questions. Fine.
What about
I didn't say, do you have? I was like, you have one, right?
I don't think so. Fine, so you just asked me to make sure he's
in a social shul situation, if someone's spreading Lashon Hara about using by using a nasty joke,
that's all Lashon Hara.
Right.
You should run away. It's the same shul, they have a lot of issues, a lot of strikes.
What do you mean? How do you do with the joke?
I'm not going in detail.
Right. Now. Now. Fine. Now, Chavos Chaim asks Akiva's question. How is it possible that someone told me Lashon Hara not to accept it as fact? Someone just told me that this guy has a smartphone. So now, how am I supposed to not accept it as fact? You tell me to be cautious about it, but don't accept it as fact. How do you do that? Like, it's pretty hard. It's Akiva's question. Chavos Chaim is the same question. Right? I heard Lashon Hara just now at somebody. Have you like, listened to it? And like believe it a little bit, but don't like accept it as fact. So he says, you know how to do this. Now you know how to do this? Let's say someone told you Lashon Hara about your brother. Let's say your brother has a smartphone. Let's say a guy tells you about it. Then what would you do? You would take precaution. You wouldn't accept it as fact. You say, you tell him, nah, it's not my brother, he doesn't have one. You deny it. Then you'll go to your brother quietly. So I heard guys talking about you. I don't think it's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe if it's really true, you could stop. You could, you know, kosher, if you can work it out. So same thing a person has to do with every person. So like when it's about your brother, you'll find solutions. You'll automatically say it's not true to the people. And then,
we're all brothers.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. We have to treat it right like our brothers. That's why our...
Right. So you're saying if you hear Lashon Hara, you should go confront them on it? Or bring it to their attention?
If I hear something about somebody that I can help them. I didn't Lashon Hara. I heard something about a person, and I feel I can help them with it. So I shouldn't accept it as fact. I hear a certain guy, I hear one person telling another person, this person has a smartphone. Hey, Ruben saying, show me, you know, Mr. Levy has a smartphone. I know that I could convince Levy, maybe, and tell him not to use a smartphone, right? So
yeah, he's just smart in the
other phone. Isn't that Raquel's story?
I said, I think I saw you with one. Did I see you with one? You have to bring in the other people. Just go with him for constructive purpose and say...
Better go to the person directly.
No, go to the person. Go to Levi. Yeah, Ruben. No, Ruben, I heard Ruben. I don't know about it. I hear Ruben telling Shimon, you know, Levi has a smartphone.
So you should go straight to Levi.
That's what I'm doing. So don't tell anybody...
You need to find out that it's not true and clear it up.
Or to tell him and help you. Oh, exactly. But I'm allowed to take precaution. Meaning, I don't have to say, oh, it's not true. These guys don't know what they're talking about. No. I think it could be true. And I can help Levi. Because as Chaim said, it's allowed for me to accept it, not as fact, to accept it enough to take precaution and try to speak to the person. And then speak to the person about it. He says, like, what do you do for my brother? Someone says something bad about my brother. I tell them it's not true, if I have to tell them. I go to him privately and speak to him about it. I thought, I don't know for sure if it's true. I heard this and that. And then speak to him about it. That's the Isa. So then, even though it was Lashon Hara, I'm not supposed to say it's not true. If I think I can help the person, so I'm allowed to listen to it for constructive purpose, but not accept it. That's the difference. Good? So that's the halacha of Talos. When I hear, I'm allowed to listen to Lashon Hara for constructive purpose, but I'm not allowed to accept it as fact. Then I'm allowed to go on to the next step. Just going to front of the next day.
More.
52, fine. I'll keep wants another one. Covered. Tisha, what will do one for tomorrow? Fine, you ready for another one?
Oh.
Day 53. Keep wants more than Lashon Hara. Fine, day 53. Now, how are you supposed to know before listening to a report that information can be used constructively? How in the world are we supposed to know? A guy comes up to me, starts saying a story. How am I supposed to know? The answer is I have to ask. I must ask the speaker if something constructive can be gained from hearing your information. Right? If a guy is telling me a Lashon Hara about something about a certain person which involves a business that I deal with, then I can listen to this. I have to ask him. Say, dear my kind friend, do you think there's something constructive to be gained from listening to your story? And if he says yes, then you're allowed to listen to it. If he says there's no constructive purpose for you, then it's forbidden to hear the report. Now, Chavos Chaim has another leniency, which is not a heter all across the board. We're not just telling you you can do it all across the board. But there are times when, let's say, a husband can listen to Lashon Hara from a wife. Meaning, usually, the Hilchos Lashon Hara, even though people don't like that, are even between husband and wife. That's Chavos Chaim says explicitly. People think between husband and wife, it's not really Lashon Hara, it's just this Lashon Hara. Yeah, that's Lashon Hara happens. So, if your husband tells wife, oh, this guy did this, and that guy did that, and then she says, oh, she did this, she did that, that's all Lashon Hara. However,
what else are you supposed to talk about?
What? Look at your dog. I don't know if I say, did I say Lashon Hara on your dog? Still trying to tell a nice thing. Now, sometimes a woman may be very upset.
Is there any time that you're talking good about people with lashon hara?
And we talk good sometimes. If you know this person could be a little bit of an enemy, then you said in a crowd, sometimes you shouldn't talk good about people.
Not an enemy, let's say between you and your wife.
And the Chassam said by a crowd of people, because a lot of times could come to cause to drift off and start saying negative things. So
said all the good stuff, not even.
And I say, yeah, but they're very nice people, but.
Right.
And it's like, in a group, is that you should never speak, don't praise a certain individual, unless he's known to have a lot of qualities, because then there's always a guy who can say, yeah, but he also has this problem. Some jealous guy is going to try to knock on him. But now I'm saying a wife. Sometimes it's allowed to listen to lashon hara from your wife. When is the last hearing lashon hara from your wife? Let's say a woman is very upset. She's very upset, right? And she needs to let out, vent the story with someone did to her on somebody else. And she feels she has to say the names. Really, she's to tell Hashem. So before that, she's not even in that mode.
Try that.
So she already tried, and she's too upset. So she wants to vent on her. She wants to, you know, let out all her steam on her dear husband, who's going to hopefully try to listen to her and be compassionate with her, hopefully not stick up for the other person. She's hoping at least, which that's what we should do anyway, no matter even if the other person is right, and they just say, she wants to hear that the other person's wrong and she's right. That's what she wants to hear. That's what the lady's willing, that's what all she wants to hear. She's the best and the other person's wrong. Right? So now, then also, if this, she really needs this, if she's really upset about something, and the way to help her calm down, help her, right, is from her speaking out to lashon hara, then you're allowed to listen to lashon hara, because the constructive purpose is that your wife should calm down. She shouldn't explode. So it's another example of a constructive purpose of listening to lashon hara. It's not because I'm going to take care of that person and go, I don't want to talk to that lady. I'm not interested in that lady. I don't want to see that lady, that she made her problems.
It's
but
also a lesson for you that you're probably speaking lashon hara.
But also, it's a lesson for me. But the point is that if I'm doing it for a constructive purpose, for her to vent, for her to calm down, then it's a lie. And then afterwards, you can tell her, okay, I feel bad for you. And you can try maybe, I don't know, sometimes maybe it's down, close to the other person. But that's also another case of a constructive purpose where a spouse, and then also again, I'm just listening to listen. And not, but I'm not accepting it as fact, all story. I mean, she's upset and she's going out of control. She makes up a lot of details and facts, a lot of exaggeration. But there's another case where you're allowed to listen to lashon hara for a constructive purpose. Baruch Hashem. That was day 53.
Come on, I'll buy it.
Now we're going to learn some tomorrow.
Let's learn some tomorrow.
Try to get to the Mishnah, start with Matthew, so we can at least get to the Mishnah. And the next Mishnah already gets a little bit lighter.
Tomorrow
there's no Shiva. Tuesday there's no Shiva. Wednesday we'll see. And now we'll let it go.
Where are we holding?
It's supposed to end the Mishnah.
No, I can send this here another day or two. The Mishnah is going to end.
Supposedly we're supposed to come back on Wednesday. If the war's still going on, come back on Wednesday.
If you don't know.
If
it's not going on,
no,
call me.
Okay.
What about the people who don't have phones?
Where are we holding?
Payphones. Okay, here we go.
You get a payphone already, huh?
You get a payphone. Yeah, how much is the payphone here?
Kochana. No, Kochana for a payphone. Kochana. I don't know.
Do you accept the charges?
Kochala. Kochala. I give them, I'll put you back.
What?
Fine.
And where are we holding?
What? We're holding on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.
10B?
No.
11.
11. 11B?
11A.
11A.
Fine. So we're holding now, so you know where we'll start from. Who that we're starting from? We're starting from, actually we're starting from the bottom. We're starting from the bottom line, Yud Aleph on the base. Yud Aleph on the base. Amar Rav Chanan bar Chanina. V'na amar nimra parshas reitzka b'lashon aza. Now on the top, we're already on the Yud Aleph on the top line. Why, in Sefer Yeshua, when it talks about the murderers, why does it say a lashon of Aza, which means a very harsh. Hashem spoke to him harshly. Hashem said by Daver. So Hashem spoke to him. This is Hashem said to him. So Hashem spoke to him. So why is it really Lashon Az? Why is it really such a strong Lashon, such a strong terminology? Dechsev, like I said. Vaydaber Hashem Yeshua. Leymar. Says the word Vaydaber. Hashem spoke to Yeshua saying, Daber el B'nei Yisrael, speak to B'nei Yisrael, Leymar saying, Tinu lachem es Ari HaMiklot, give to them the Ari HaMiklot, Asher Dibati Aleichem Mekarim. So over there it says, set up the Ari HaMiklot, which is, right, set up the Ari HaMiklot. So why would it talk about the murderers to set up Ari HaMiklot? Why does it say Daber? In the whole Savior Yeshua it says, Vayomer. Good? He said, Hashem said to Yeshua. Here's what he spoke to. Why? My answer, yeah, why is it strong? Vaydaber. Good question. How many times in the whole series Yeshua did say Vaydaber? One time. With Bnei Shehein Shel Tarif. Because they are referring to Halacha from the Torah. Meaning, it's referring back to a Halacha from the Torah. Meaning, it's the only place in Yeshua where it's reiterating to do a mitzvah. Correct? The sister is telling you to do a mitzvah, therefore it's a Vaydaber. So Hashem is making sure it's a very strict situation. It says by Dab. Exactly, it's good. Oh, so it says by Dab. Because they're from the Torah. So since it's. Oh, that was the Gemara's answer. Gemara's answer. Neighbor, you mean to tell me to call Hebrew Lashon Kashe? Whenever it says the word Daber, spoke, it's a harsh Lashon. Gemara says, and yet, whenever it says by Daber, it's very harsh. Could have stayed, like I said in the past. Daber ha'ish demands ha'adoni ha'aret yitadu kashas. When the brothers told Yaakov Avinu about Yosef, they said he spoke to us very harshly. To see if it's daber, then it's harsh. So they didn't say that Yom he said to us harshly. He spoke to us harshly. So you learn that daber is a lashon harsh. It's a harsh lashon. I have a tiny, we learned that the price of Nidbru, when it says the word Nidbru, ain't Nidbru el Lashon Nachas. When it says the word Nidbru, it seems like it's a more mellow Lashon, mellow terminologies. The Chen Hu Omer, like it says, Yadver Arav Tachtin, the nation will be humbled underneath us. So I want to show from there, it's more like a humbling way of speech. It's not such a strong speech.
I'm sorry, so they're coming back, this is a passage from Malachi, right? But I don't understand, so what are they contrasting? The bear now saying Nidabru? Where's the...
Originally it's the same shorish, Daber.
Of course.
So we're asking, you're telling me Daber is the Lashon of Aza, or the Lashon of harshness. But for this pasuk, this Gemara, this price, it tells us that no, Daber is the Lashon of humbling.
So Nidabru, they're saying, is the humbling.
It's humbling.
It's soft, rather than
yeah,
harsh.
Soft. Yeah. It says Nidru, ain't Nidru, Elashon Nachas, like it says, Yadru, Adathenu. Like the nation will be like humbled underneath you. So we see the word Yadver means like it's like a humbling, it's like a more sweet, mellow speech. It's not so strong. The more answer is no. It's a very big difference. Daber l'chud and Yadver l'chud. If it says Daber, like by us, Vayidaber, and he spoke, that's a strong one, Vayidaber. When it says Yidaber, then it's a more easy Lashon, it's more easy, it's like a Lashon now. This is Vayidaber, which is from coming from Daber, then it's a harsh Lashon. Good? Very good. Let's see the top Rashi, Lashon Aza. Why was the parasha written by Mikkel said Lashon Aza? What does Rashi say? V'chol Yeshua, the entire book of Yeshua, it says Vayomer Hashem. It says what Hashem said. The card over here now, Vayidaber Hashem with Yeshua. Hashem spoke. The Dibur Lashon Azu. And Dibur is more a harsh terminology. Dibur, he spoke. Right? So it's, I have to speak to you. It's more harsh. So why is it such a harsh Lashon? So we said, B'nei Shehein Shel Tarif. So it's reiterating a mitzvah from the Torah. Al Sha'arav is, however, the other sayings, Sha'amar, which Hashem told Yeshua. Why Omer Daber? Because the other saying was Sha'amar, Why Omer Daber L'Kai Mitzvah Aksuba Mitzvah. Hashem never told him anything which was to fulfill a mitzvah which is written in the Torah. Chos mizu. This is the only time Hashem told Yeshua, make sure to keep a mitzvah in the Torah. Good? He said, we said Yadver is the Lashon of soft. Just like it says, Yadver, Avi, Yinahel, Am, Dachim. The nations will be like ruled under you. But So he said that there's two terminologies. There's daber, which is speaking. That's a harsh lashon. And then there's yidaber, which is more, or nidaber, which is more, less, more calm lashon. Good. Let's see the Gemara further. Plague about Rabbi Yehuda of Rabban. We have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. Everyone's here. Continue further. You guys should continue. Good. Let's go, Avram. Tell the Mishnah. Plague about Rabbi Yehuda of Rabban. Now we have a machlekes. Why does the Torah speak a lashon harsh of harshness? Chad, I mean, one says, "Upnei sheshiha." The sheshiha means.
Waited.
But Yeshua waited. Even after he finished separating the land, he didn't immediately make the argument. Because Hashem spoke to him harshly. Hashem spoke to him. Knew. Hashem told him, knew. What's
going
on? We're
waiting for you to complete the mitzvah.
Yeah. So apparently, because he waited. The Chadar wants him to exchange shelter because it's referring to the, because it's reiterating, it's referring to the Pasuk in the Torah. Like we said earlier, since we're teaching you to do a mitzvah in the Torah, Hashem spoke, so he means business now. This is business. Good?
Unless it could be done for 14 years,
you know. Here, Rabbi, I'm saying, Chanan, Yeshua is Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud. Moshe Rabbeinu did this mitzvah with his Rizos, right? So, Yeshua also, what are you waiting for? Your Rabbi did this mitzvah with his Rizos, what are you waiting for? To do it with Rizos. Good. Now, an interesting question. Who wrote the last 8 psukim in the Torah? Rav Akiva, who wrote the last 8 psukim in the Torah? You know what the last 8 psukim in the Torah say?
Sure.
What besides Yeshua? What does the last 8 psukim in the Torah mean? The last psukim, they talk about Moshe Rabbeinu dying. So who wrote in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu died? Did Moshe Rabbeinu write it right before he died? Because he was writing what Hashem told him, because he was just doing what Hashem told him to write? That's one opinion. But our Gemara brings that opinion that Yeshua wrote it. Yeshua was the one who wrote it. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua wrote those last 8 psukim. And Moshe died, and those last 8 psukim, Hashem told him, Chazak v'emas. Who wrote all that? Right?
Hashem
wrote it. It's not Hashem that wrote. Hashem told someone to write. Hashem either told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it, or Yeshua to write it. That's the shadow.
Right.
So our Gemara was going to learn. One opinion says, Vayichtav Yeshua sadvar me'elo v'sever teres elikim. What does that passage mean? It says in Yeshua, Yeshua wrote these words in the Sefer Torah. Plegi ba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechem. Machlokes. Chadar, one says it's referring to Shmaine Psukim. It's referring to the last 8 Psukim of the Torah. That's what Yeshua wrote. Chadar, I know. Ir Mikla. When it says he wrote the words of the Torah, it's referring to the fact that he wrote about the Ir Mikla in his chum in Yeshua. What does he?
Not in
the Torah. What did he wrote? Why does he say he wrote Torah Selakim? He wrote a halacha that was in the Torah already.
Right. So he just reiterated, restated in the book of Yeshua.
What was written
already. He writes a halacha that was from the Torah, so therefore you can say he wrote part of the Torah.
Exactly. So that's what he said. Chadim Mikla. So now, where's first going to ask the question? Based on we understand, Lamanda Omar, according to the Shita, says Chas Psukim, that Yeshua wrote the eight Psukim. Hainu the Psukim. This is what the Pasuk tells me. The Sefer Torah Selakim. What did the Pasuk say we already mentioned earlier? Yeshua wrote these words in the Sefer of Torah of Elikim. So what's the Sefer Torah of Elikim? Sound like you're referring to the Torah. Elamanda Amar Ari Mikla. If you say it's referring to the 8 Psukim, which is written in the about Ari Mikla, in Yeshua. So the book of it's not in the Torah. Fakir Mikiva. So why Elamanda Ari Mikla? My Sefer Torah is Elikim. It's not in the Torah. Why are you telling me it's in the Torah? It's not in the Torah. That's the wise cash.
I was going to repeat that.
According to the opinion that says that it was written the last 8 psukim of the Torah.
They're not in the Sefer Yeshua, so therefore.
Then the pasuk, I understand the pasuk. The pasuk reads very nicely. The pasuk says, Yeshua wrote these things in the Sefer Torah of Hashem. That's very nice. He wrote the
Sefer Torah of Hashem is not Yeshua.
Nachon. But if you tell me it's referring to the psukim of Yeshua, why is the pasuk telling me it was written in the Sefer Torah of Elikim?
In the Torah. The last 8 psukim in the Torah.
It's a sentence, yes, have you tell me it's referring to the psukim that Yeshua wrote in Yeshua?
Those are also the last 8 psukim?
No, it's not that. It's the middle of Yeshua. I mean, why is it? So what's the halakha? This is what it means to say. By Yechda Yeshua b'sifra, Yeshua wrote in his sefer, as Hadvar Ma'ela, these words, Haksub Zeretar Zeretar Zeretar. Yeshua wrote in his sefer, about Ari Miklos, which was already stated
in
the Torah Selikin. That's what I mean. So one shot is he wrote the last book of Torah Selikin. Well, no. He wrote over in his book, yeah, I think we got it. He wrote over in his Sefer Yeshua, what was already written in the Torah Selikin. But just come in here, according to the shot, that this pasuk is referring to Yeshua.
So what does it say about the last book of the Torah in general that he wrote for Moshe Rabbeinu?
Oh, so according to this opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua didn't write the last book of Yeshua.
Ah, I see.
But which means who wrote it?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote right before he died. He wrote what Hashem told him, write the following, write you died, and then finish it. That's the comment. Good?
I died, and then I'll move over, and there'll never be another Nabi like me. What? Very good, very nice of
you. No, right? Didn't you know like that?
I never knew that. Very nice, thank you. Heiter Sefer Shitzapru. Oh, this is again, this is a new studio.
Never learned Zosavata?
Good luck next time at the last
show. Sorry, I haven't had that much time really to be involved in the tour, so. Baruch Hashem, you know it, I don't know it.
I would say the last eight took him.
I have no idea what the last eight took him. If he gave me a, say I got a new car, a new house, and
that's what it says.
Around the world, I wouldn't know it. So, Baruch Hashem, you know it.
Says the Yamas Maisha Sham Eved Hashem, the Eved Hashem Maisha Rabbeinu died, right? But Eretz Maya, he died in Moab. That's where he died, and they buried him.
But
Maya,
right? It didn't happen yet.
And Maisha was 120 years old when he died, and his right, says he didn't. His eye didn't dim, and the whole clay shall cry for 30 days. And Yeshua ben Nun was full of chachma because Maisha ben gave him. He pressed Maisha ben rested his hands on him, and there was no navi ever. The Klaitra like Moshe that spoke to Hashem face to face. All the Nisan he did for us in Mitzrayim and Paran.
But it doesn't apply
to
Yeshua wrote that. You just
assume
that Yeshua wrote
no, that's not the Pshat.
Huh?
That's the Gemara says. Not assuming, they know they have a Messiah. They're not making stories up. The Gemara knows that they have a Messiah. Yeshua was the one who wrote it. They're not making up. We know Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't write it, so who wrote it? So they know from the Rebbein. They know from the Rebbein that Yeshua wrote it. Other people say, no, we never heard that from our Rebbein. And we as far
as it says, "Biyamas Eved Hashem."
So Biyamas Moshe Eved Hashem. That Moshe died.
Well, the reason why it says there'll never be another Navi in Israel
is because of Sabil. Oh. No, but it says another Navi who spoke to Hashem, panam upon panam, face to face. That's interesting. Hey, Bob was definitely a creeper. He's up here in the thing, but he speaks to Hashem.
He's
on the same type of level.
Say, oh, you would have given us a Navi.
No one besides Moshe Rabbeinu knows. They saw Hashem in the back. But since Moshe Rabbeinu had a spaklari hamayira, meaning he saw Hashem clearly. Everybody else was like a bunch of windows in between. Even though some saw more clear, some people had like stained glass. Some had you know different levels of glass. You know,
like
tinted glass.
Part of this, like he was speaking to it.
He spoke to Hashem. But at least to face to face in a way, it's face to. We saw the back of Hashem. What Hashem's face looked like.
No, he never saw. I mean, it said that he saw on the back of his tefillin.
But he spoke to him face to face. I don't know.
No,
he spoke to face to face.
From behind the rock, he saw the glow from the tefillin or something. And it said
the back of the knot, the tefillin. He said, where is my heart?
It's white tefillin.
Fine. White tefillin?
That was white. The straps were white.
No, the straps have to be black.
No, that is Hashem's tefillin.
I don't know.
You ever heard that?
The what?
Hashem's
tefillin
is white. Hashem's tefillin is everything. Hashem's tefillin is everything. Hashem doesn't wear Rashi either. Hashem has different. What do you mean, Rashi?
It's talking about the pie, so.
Yes, it's the Rashi that you don't wear Rashi every time. You wonder which order in the parashas is written? What's the difference between Rashi every time? It's the order of the parashas.
It's
the parashas anyway.
Speaking about Rashi, does Rashi have anything?
Yeah, does Rashi have anything?
Does Rashi say the word of this?
Why is Machlokes? What do you mean? Who wrote what? No, I don't know. Let's see Rashi here. Fine, let's see Rashi. So, okay, we said, what's the pshat why Hashem spoke to Yeshua in a strong lashon? Because they waited. He did not separate them immediately. Until Hashem told him. So he said, Pligi, but there was an argument, if Yerusha, the high crop. In the explanation of this pasuk, Ma kasev Yeshua b'sefer Torah. What did Yeshua write in the sefer Torah? Chadar one says, Shmai the Pesukim. The last eight psukim of the Torah, those whom Yeshua wrote. The Vayam is Shalom Moshe, from the words of Vayam is Shalom Moshe, that pasuk, I'd say until the end. He wrote that. Yeshua wrote it. And Chal Amar, Parshat Ari Miklat. Who? No, this means he wrote the Parshat Ari Miklat, who Aymer Shekhsuba B'Sev Yeshua. It's saying that that was written in Sefer Yeshua. Go, let's see the Gemara further. Try to really get to the Mishnah with Hashem's help.
No, the Gemara changes something.
It's very possible, since we were talking about the Sefer Torah, and we were talking about the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, we brought another halacha about the Sefer Torah with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda arguing with somebody else. A lot of times the Gemara do that. We just talked about the Sefer Torah, correct?
Right.
Then we also, since we had a halacha about Rabbi Yehuda, who was talking about the Sefer Torah, so now also we bring another Rabbi Yehuda, and Machlok is about a halacha of a Sefer Torah. Good?
Right.
What's that, Shiloh? Are you allowed to sow? We know that it's filling, you must sow. With something from an animal. Animals can use, right? They take out the veins and they slice it up, they shred it until it becomes a string. That's what that's called kidin. That's how they sew up your tefillin. Right? If you ever look at your tefillin, it's not made out of thread. Now, tefillin, we have halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, the passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu. Tefillin must be sewn with animal products. Even the sewing, everything about the tefillin has to be from an animal. So you bring an animal out of the box, and even the stitches have to be from a sewing. The question is like this: we know how halacha is a sefer Torah is supposed to be written on a bunch of pieces. The chasana b'kit, right? It's supposed to be the cloth is a bunch of pieces, right? You have three amudim on a page, basically on a page. You have three pages, three columns written. Now the halacha that now is halacha has to be sewn together, correct? Has to be attached.
It's not quote cloth as in cotton, but it's cloth as in
not cloth.
Exactly, as like animal hide.
Right, animal hide.
Like the same thing that's used for tefillin.
Tefillin. However, the question here is...
Yeah.
And the question is, do you have to sew the Sefer Torah with animal products? Or it's good enough to sew it with flax? Take flax and take pishtan, make sewing. Right? Just take a regular thread out of anything you want. Doesn't have to necessarily be an animal product. Let's talk about chakimah. Do you have to sew with the Sefer Torah with taco, with gidin? With these sinews, or no, or it's good enough to sew it up any thread you have. Go to the dollar store, buy thread, buy, I don't know, whatever nice color thread you want, and sew up the Sefer Torah. That's going to be the machlokes. Of course, we hold halacha, it must be from an animal. We hold it has to be from an animal. And that's what we hold. Correct? We hold it has to be.
The Gemara has machlokes.
We hold the ma'is halacha. We hold, of course, it has to be from an animal. That's what we hold. Let's see the Gemara. Sefer is tougher with pishta. You have a Sefer Torah, which is sewed with flax. Instead of sinews, instead of an animal product, please give a review of the Rebbe. They argue, review the Rebbe. Chad Adam Kosher. Chad Adam. Pasul. One says kosher, one says pasul. Why should it be pasul? Lamanda or pasul, because the Chassid it says by the Parsha of Tefillin, Leman Tiya Teres Hashem Beticha. In order that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. Which means when it's talking about Tefillin, it said the words Torah Hashem. It's talking about tefillin, correct? But we quoted a Torah of Hashem. So we want to compare them. Iskish, kala kara Torah kula l'tefillin. We want to make a hekish, which is like a juxtaposition. Since you mentioned the word Torah when you were talking about your tefillin, so I'm going to connect the Sefer Torah to tefillin. Now, how do you make a hekish of you? You know a hekish of you?
Really?
Comparison. But it's more than a comparison. We're saying since it said this word in your parasha, so I'm going to connect them. I'm going to make the connection.
A comparison,
but it's more than correct because it was one
adjacent tree,
or a juxtaposition. No, they call it juxtaposition, which means it's juxtaposed.
Yeah.
It's why the Torah tell me in middle time that
it's a filling,
and
it's
two and two are
connected.
It's connected.
The rules of the filling and the two are going to be applicable to the Torah.
Good. Very good.
Fine.
Good. So it's just called to mat filling halacha much we see now. The Torah just like filling halacha much we see. Nice past then. Let's from begidin. That to be sewn specifically with gidin, with the sinews, and not with any thread. Afkol, also to all the things, types of Torah, mezuzah. So, anytime you need to sew anything, it must be with gidin.
Fine.
That's one opinion. That's the halacha. Why you have to have gidin? We hold halacha ma'isa. It must be sewn up with gidin, with the sinews from animal. He either for anything else. No. Ki iskish lemaisa v'ficha. When do we have?
We don't know.
One is one. We don't know who's who.
Fine.
Ki iskish lemaisa, beficha. When did we make a hekesh to the words of Hashem that said Maitzer Ficha, which we had said on the summer of those words, Chazal says, Mina Maitzer Ficha means Mina Mutzer Ficha. You have to make a tefillin as something that's mutter for you to eat. L'chosam. When do we compare tefillin? When do we compare sevitar to tefillin? L'chosam for halachas, meaning anything which is halacha al-maish mi-sinai. For example, halacha, l'chosam for halacha al-maish mi-sinai. Sorry, ki iskish l'maish mi-ficha. When do we compare them for regular halachas? When do we tell you tefillin have to be, when do we tell you Sefer Torah has to be like tefillin? That's for halachas which are written explicitly in the Torah. Any halacha which is written explicitly for tefillin, that we would compare that to the Sefer Torah. Good?
For example,
the fact that it has to be written on animal hide. Cloth. So it says that by tefillin, and just like it says that by tefillin, we bring that over to Sefer Torah.
So they're saying that since you have to just...
You make a hekesh.
The tefillin has to be sewn up by a sinu.
That, no, that's wrong. Not that halacha. He's saying, he's arguing. He's saying, when do we compare sefer Torah tefillin, halachas that are written explicitly in the Torah, that it says that your tefillin has to be written on animal hide. We learned it from a pasuk in the Torah. Therefore, so too your sefer Torah also has to be on animal hide. However, a halacha by tefillin, which is only halacha l'maishem Sinai, for example, the fact that it has to be sewn with animal sinews, that we don't bring over to...
That's Tor Baal Peh, then, is what you're saying.
Halacha l'maishem Sinai. That we don't bring over to...
You're not going to transfer the halacha of Tor Baal Peh to...
From tefillin to Sefer Torah. Good. So when we say we compare the halachas of Sefer Torah from tefillin to all over, that's where halachas are written explicitly. For example, it's been written on a cloth. So Sefer Torah also. However, but l'hil chaysa, had this even been one of the other opinion holds, ki iskish, when do we make... Ki iskish, when do we make a hekesh? When do we compare Sefer Torah to tefillin? L'maiser b'ficha. The halachas are like were written explicitly in the Torah, like maiser b'ficha, these type of halachas that has to be written on an animal hide. But l'hil chaysa, for the halacha which we see now, the Torah Shabbat, my iskish, we don't have a hekesh, so we don't bring over this halacha that has to be tied, sewed up with animal sinews to Sefer Torah.
So the connecting of the parshas or the columns in the Sefer Torah is a Baal Peh, therefore it's not applicable to the sinews which are used to cover your tefillin.
Cool, that's what this opinion holds. So the first opinion holds, you do compare, you compare everything to tefillin. I don't care, Torah, but in the Gemara, Baal Peh, Torah Shmachsav, everything you compare. Same opinion holds, no, only what's written in the Torah, Torah Shmachsav. Whatever was Torah Shabbat Peh, you don't include in the Hekesh. So a halacha that applies to tefillin, you could sew up tefillin with a gidin, does not apply to Sefer Torah. You could sew a Sefer Torah with any thread you want, according to the Shita, right? Right? Correct?
Okay, so when it says at the very end, the halacha follows...
Let's say, well, because of Leishkesh. Now, our Gemara just brings that machlaik. We don't bring any Shita. Let's see the Gemara. Amarab. Chazina lulu the tefillin. I saw the tefillin of Bechavim, my uncle, who was Reb, who was Rav Uncle Reb Chia. Rav said, I saw the holy Rav Reb Chia's tefillin. And I saw the tefillin of Kitna. I saw they were tied with flax, not with animal hide. That's what he wants to tell us.
Why did you change the lashon of this
time to Kitna
here?
I agree. They were processed. Like they were loved the process. Kidna is flax. Kidna is also pishta. It's also pishta. I don't know why we make a difference.
How do you know that he's talking about when he saw the tefillin?
Reading Mar. Amarav. Chazinu, the tefillin. I saw the tefillin. What, you want to, because they change it? Because some gifts want to change it?
The
okay, they really mean sefitar, right? I thought our gifts are really sefitar.
I don't know. I didn't say sefitar or tefillin.
It says tefillin. What do you mean? It says chazinu, the tefillin, the bechavivi. Reading Mar. It says, I saw the tefillin, the bechavivi.
I saw
it. Who? My uncle, who was Reb Chia. The tefillin, because which really they changed against
me. Sewn together.
But less, which was sewn together with linen. But right. Let's hold us like I say. We don't hold halachas like him. We don't hold halachas like him. We hold you cannot sew a Sefer Torah with linen. Next time you sew your Sefer Torah, your Sefer Torah must be sewn with.
So we don't sew with linen.
Right, we don't sew with linen. It must be
like your uncle did that you saw.
Well, you saw your uncle. You did it wrong. We don't hold like that. You saw your uncle's filling. Okay. But you
what
saw. So we keep this animal. They take this thing, they shred this veins, and like faces like a vein of animal, they shred it up so it's this hard.
So he's told the second part that we go by Paul Payne. Now it's not between the torrent and the fill-in, the exact duplication of torrent and fill-in. He's told by
the first opinion.
That
the heck is applies to everything. Any halacha that applies to say Vitara applies to Tefillin, applies to say Vitara.
But it's saying we don't hold by that first opinion.
We don't hold by the why? We'll get it.
We hold by the second opinion, which is we learn the difference between Balpay and
no, wait, what was that? What was the first opinion? What the first you thought? The first you held that just like Tefillin must be sinews, Vitara also like Tefillin must be sinews, here also has to be sinews. Achan?
Right.
Good, so that's what we hold by. We hold like the first of it. Let's just be rational. I don't want to miss out these rational here. It says, "Lama'an tia teres, v'reishi dekra." Beginning of this pasuk, Mishnah, which film was speaking about tefillin, the etzvish hakol tara with tefillin. So we see the Torah made a hekesh between Torah and tefillin. The key is because the ma'aser b'fircha, the tefillin by kra b'fircha, mina ma'aser b'fircha, mina we make a choice, mina mutter b'fircha. Tefillin has to be written on something which is mutter for you to eat, meaning a kosher animal.
Even if it was trade, but it's still kosher. It's still kosher.
It has to be a kosher animal. The animal has to be a kosher animal. Yeah, she'ein neftavin or behemoth bein. You cannot write it on the leather of behemoth which is tummy. You said when? You said oh Allah al chasein. Well, davar she'ein akas batera. Kufay lagam yilein. Allah al chasein alei bimekin. If the only know we know way that we know the halacha that you have to have it from sinews, the halacha must be Sinai. So since by tefillin you only know from halacha must be Sinai, we don't bring that over the hekesh to Sefer Torah. That was the second opinion. We don't bring it over. When do we make? When do we include in the hekesh Sefer Torah that's tefillin? That's like anything written in the Torah explicitly. Like the halacha has to be written on kosher animal hide. So tefillin Sefer Torah also has to be written on kosher animal hide.
That's the first opinion.
That is the second opinion. Plus, you see the last chapter. Bechavi, we told you after Abuhu of Chira, his brother was in punch. Got promised to turn. I say now, fish. I don't know what's going to be Wednesday. Either way, the Zman does not start Rosh Chodesh El. The Zman over here always starts the Sunday before Rosh Chodesh El. Everyone should know it starts because this Zman of people can't. The Sunday before, regardless of what happens now, with the short of being back by Sunday before Rosh Chodesh El on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Why?
That's what they do in the Shiva. That's what they do. I don't know. The Shiva starts Sunday before.
What day is that in August?
I have no idea. You'll check it out in your calendar. The Sunday before is Chodesh El. You'll figure it out. You don't know when it is in August? Hana, what day is it in August?
It's a Sunday.
No, I know. What day?
Not sure.
Sunday is the 28th.
Tough class. Right? Yes. What is it in August?
24th.
24th of August. Starting Sunday, be here.